Cultural revolution in America. What's it going to take?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Come on, let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. What's it really going to take to see change come to our nation? What's it really going to take for the church to wake up? What's it really going to take for us to see a full-fledged gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? Yes, this is a major theme. My heart burns with this day and night. As I spend time with the Lord, my heart burns for a gospel-based revolution more than ever. What is it going to take to see this happen in our lifetimes? Welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I am delighted to be with you. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to give you an opportunity to call in today. Was not able to get to many who wanted to call in or speak with me yesterday, but let me phrase my question slightly differently. If you did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016, if the elections were today and he was up against a Hillary Clinton-type Democrat candidate, would you vote for him? Everyone that called in yesterday, they represented folks who did vote for Donald Trump in 2016, and I think every one of them said they'd vote for him again now. What if you did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016? Would you vote for him today? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, I've done some polling on that, and it's very interesting to see the results that I'm finding on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll share more about that with you a little bit later in the broadcast. But first, we're on the radio for very specific purposes. We're not here simply to teach and preach the Bible, all right? Everything we do is based on Scripture in terms of why we're on the radio and how we live and how we seek to please God. So we are Bible-based in all we do, but the purpose of this show is not to be primarily a Christian teaching show. Why? Well, number one, that's not the assignment God gave me on the radio. Number two, there are tons of fine teachers, preachers, leaders, pastors getting their message out on radio and on TV. And in fact, I have a preaching show on God TV that airs on Sundays. Check it out, called Word on Fire, where I just preach. It's like a 25-minute message, and I preach the gospel. So I'm all for that. I do it all the time. Just came back from preaching in India. However, on the radio, we have a specific assignment. And our specific assignment on the radio is to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We are not just conservative talk radio. We are not an extension of the right wing or certainly of the Republican Party. No, that's not who we are. That's not our calling. And we are not just a news broadcast. Why? Again, it's not our assignment. And there are plenty of other places to get the news. We'll talk about key breaking news, things that are important to us, but always seeking to bring a gospel perspective. So we are on the radio, as you hear day and night, to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We are on the radio to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. And we want to equip you so that you can go by the grace and power of God through the gospel and be a world changer. So together, we can make a difference. So I want to talk practically. I want to talk clearly. When we come back, 866-348-7884. Oh, and a big announcement that you're going to be excited to hear. All that as soon as we come back on The Line of Fire. Stay tuned.
God of light, hear our cry, send
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Okay, big announcement. It's big to us. I think you'll appreciate it. We were given a clock to use, a radio clock to use, meaning the segments and then when the commercial breaks come in. That was dictated to us when we went on a bunch of major national radio stations, and this was proposed as the best way to do it. So we have this little opening segment of about 4.5 minutes. If we have a guest on, all we can do is introduce them in that time. Otherwise, we kind of give you some key things and set up the rest of the show. Then we got a 2-minute break. Then we come back for 10 minutes and change, have a 2-minute break, then come back for 8 minutes and change. So we get a lot of air time overall. If you compare that to other shows that have more commercial breaks, we get a lot of air time, but things are broken up a bit that make it a little difficult for the flow sometimes. And people said you have to have all those breaks. Well, again, that's dictated to us by the clock we're given, and the stations have certain time to air their own material, you know, commercials or ads for their own local shows. Anyway, we have now, after all these years on the radio, proposed and worked out a new clock. So here's what's going to happen, God willing, starting January 1st, all right? January 1st, you will get on to listen to us, as always, if you're listening in Eastern Standard Time. It's 3 in the afternoon. And instead of us starting at 3, there will be SRN News, the Salem Radio News Network. So you'll be getting top news from a Christian perspective the first 3 minutes. And then we will come on. We'll have a long section, a 2-minute break, and another long session. And then we start the same thing again at the 3:30 hour. So we're only going to have one break in the middle each time. And we'll have two longer segments. So if you turn on the radio to start the beginning of the show, it's like, wait. Or you flip on YouTube to watch, and it's 3:01 and we're not there yet. It's going to be 3:03 Eastern Standard Time when we start, okay? And first you're going to hear news and then us, and then we'll have longer segments. Okay, how can we see a genuine gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? Are there some things happening that are positive? Yes, the pro-life movement continues to gain ground. Yes, the pro-life movement is healthier and stronger now than in 1973. Despite all the horrors of abortion and all the lives that have been hurt, the babies lost and the mothers and fathers wounded, especially the mothers in the process, the pro-life movement continues to gain ground. And in many ways, the younger generation coming up is more pro-life than their parents. This is the case in many, many situations. So that's positive. All of the sex scandals coming up now. Yeah, that's horrible to hear what's been going on. But to me, this is part of a shaking of the society, part of a recognizing how decrepit and sinful and lustful we are, and how abusive men in particular can be. So this is a shaking of sorts, and things are coming to the surface. There's a pushback against some of the extremism of LGBT activism because it is really seeking to steal liberties away, take away liberties, freedom of speech, and conscience. There is a pushback against that. But by and large, America is going in the wrong direction. By and large, we're heading further from God, further from the gospel, further from godly foundations that we have. How can things be turned around? Let me give you a number of points. Let's start here. Number one, the revolution starts with you and starts with me. My big issue is not the state of the world. My big issue is the state of the church. My greatest concern is not what the world is doing. My greatest concern is what the church is doing or is not doing. As I've said for many years, my biggest issue is not the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light. My question remains, what is wrong with the light? Now, let me say this. I'm a leader, I'm in ministry. We've got a great platform through radio, TV, internet, books, various things. We've got a great platform to reach many. And yet, I am not looking at all these means, platforms, and things in terms of how to bring about change. I'm looking right at me, at Mike Brown. I'm looking at my own life before God as an individual. So I'm saying the same as you. You may have a church of 20,000 people, or you may be a single mom with one kid, or a guy whose wife recently left him and you're by yourself right now feeling destitute. You don't have to be somebody or have some platform. The change begins with you and me. One of our young men that graduated from our ministry school, a fine young leader in Italy, is part of a powerful movement there of young people. And they have these wristbands to wear. And in Italian, it says, the revolution starts with me. I've been meaning on having those done. If some of you make wristbands, let's get a bunch of those made and sent out. The revolution starts with me. A daily reminder that I'm responsible for my life and you're responsible for your life. Yes, I have concerns about what's happening in the church as a whole. And I've got a book coming out next year called Playing with Holy Fire that addresses concerns I have in the Charismatic Pentecostal Church, of which I am a part. So I have concerns about the larger body, the church in America. But ultimately, I'm responsible for me. You're responsible for you. And we individually can go to God in repentance of sin in our own lives and say, or say, God, show me what's wrong. Lord, give me a heart to love you and to love what you love and to hate sin and to hate what you hate, to love what you love and to hate what you hate. God, open my eyes, open my heart. Look at your life and see, are there areas in your life that you are wasting time? You have disposable time, whether it's surfing the net, whether it's texting, whether it's watching movies, whether it's watching sports, and you realize, man, I'm wasting hours every week. Why not take that time and meet with God? Yeah, well, why not say, okay, I need change. I need a breakthrough. You say, sometimes I just need to unwind. I'm tired. Okay, I understand that. But why not take some of that time and go after God and seek his face? You see, when I'm asleep, I don't know that I'm asleep. Yeah, same with all of us. We don't know that we're asleep when we're asleep. So many of us are slumbering more than we realize spiritually. Many of us have greater need for awakening than we realize. I believe in my own life. I'm devoted to the Lord. I'm zealous for God. And yet I believe in my own life that there are many areas where God wants to stir me and awaken me and burden me with his burden. That's why I prayed for years. God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. Shatter my indifference. Many times we are indifferent to things of eternal importance, and we need God to awaken us and stir our hearts. So the awakening, the revolution, the change begins with you, begins with me. Let's start there. That's number one. Number two, we must not confuse patriotism with the kingdom of God. We must not confuse patriotism with the kingdom of God. Now, I do want to talk to you about your views of the president. If you did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016, if the elections were held today against a similar Hillary Clinton type opponent, would you vote for him now? I'm getting some very interesting responses on Twitter and Facebook. So I'm going to go to your call shortly, 866-348-7884. I am very interested in what's happening in America. And as a follower of Jesus, I am a loyal American citizen. And I recognize also that America has wonderful Christian roots, that many of our foundations are godly. If you don't believe me, just get my book, Saving a Sick America. And you go through the first few chapters of that book, I just lay out the facts and lay out the quotes and lay out the history. It's overwhelming in terms of how deeply Christian many of our roots are here in America, how many biblical foundations we had. Yet, America is still part of the world. America remains part of the world, and I am ultimately loyal to another kingdom, to the kingdom of God. And it's all too easy to confuse patriotism with spirituality. When people say USA, 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 I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, I love my country, and I'm proud of America. And we are in many ways the most amazing nation, or one of the most amazing nations in world history, outside of Israel itself and God's calling on Israel. And yet, we've done a lot of bad also. We've exported good around the world. We've exported bad around the world. And when I hear make America great again, well, America can't be great unless America is good. And America can't be good without God. So ultimately, I am not just looking for some nationalistic hope. I am looking for the kingdom of God to advance in our nation and bring about radical and dramatic sweeping change. And that change begins with you, and it begins with me. We will be right back. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am praying for our president. I have written things with the hope of getting messages to our president. I have friends on the Faith Advisory Council that do their best to speak words of wisdom and counsel to the president. I know that there's a lot of good that he's done, and I know that there's a lot of bad that he's done. That's my position. I think most would agree with that, but many would not. That's fine. But my hope is not in the president to change America. I am not looking to a flawed human vessel to bring about radical change in our culture, especially since the radical change can only come through the gospel. So again, My hope is not just to make America great again. My hope is to see America turn to God. He alone can make us truly great. And a greatness without God at the center is no God at all. So if we want to see revolutionary change come, number one, it starts with you and it starts with me. Number two, we have to recognize that America is of the world, even though it has great foundations in many ways. It is still of the world and has never been a perfectly Christian country, obviously. And the goal is not a theocracy, but the goal is to see change come in a grassroots way through the gospel in society. And, leads me to my next point, our battle is ultimately spiritual. Yes, voting is important. Yes, Congress, White House, Supreme Court are important. And yes, that's part of a larger spiritual battle, but ultimately, our battle is not won in the voting booths. Our battle is won on our knees. Ultimately, change will come as we rightly connect with God and through the power of the Spirit and the power of the gospel, prayer and evangelism and repentance in the church. Through those means, that's how we can see radical change come to the society. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's just grab a couple of calls now. We'll start with Taft and Raleigh. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Glad to be on your show, and I listen to you very often. I take your same view on a lot of things. The reason I called in was the question about whether or not I would vote for Donald Trump again.
Yes, sir. So how did you vote in 2000? Yeah, how did you vote 2016?
I voted for Hillary Clinton reluctantly. I was torn, as you were. Mm-hmm. About the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I ultimately decided to vote for Hillary Clinton only because of, well, the way I felt Donald Trump was behaving and the things that he would say. And I still think he's double-minded. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel that basically the word says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And I think he said so many things that just reveals who he is inside. And mm-hmm. that's what really tore me. But whether or not to vote for him, could I vote for someone that I felt had those kinds of feelings deep inside the character? I feel his character was flawed. Now, I didn't believe Hillary Clinton's character was much better, but I think it was a sign of the times that we had those two candidates to choose from in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way the country has pulled away from God over the years, that now we're kind of reaping what we have sown over the years.
Understood. Yeah, we certainly are. And yes, sign of the times in many ways. Now, obviously, you know why I'd have issues with voting for Hillary Clinton, abortion being at the top of the list. But putting that aside, if the elections were today and you had the same choices, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, would you vote the same, not vote at all, or vote for Trump?
I would vote the same.
Got it. Mm-hmm. All right. So in other words, the reservations you had about Donald Trump then continue to be the reservations you have about him today.
Those and more now. But I mean, but I saw them coming. I'm retired military. And some of the things that he has done, I don't really believe he is very diplomatic at all. And I think he just speaks out, you know, out of the abundance of his heart or off the top of his whatever is on his mind at the moment without thinking. And I think it's dangerous that he could plunge us into a lot of conflicts.
Got it.
Whether or not conflicts.
Yeah, and that's been a concern, sir. And thank you for your service to our country as well. That's been a concern in terms of the volatility of his output, the rhetoric. Could it provoke something on an international scale? Others would say, no, that's the very thing that's going to shut these guys down. You know, the leader of North Korea thinks he's dealing with a madman and is afraid to do something. And, you know, we shall see. But, yeah, I understand the concerns. Obviously, if I was in your shoes, I couldn't have voted for Hillary. I either would have voted third party or write in or just not voted at all. But I certainly appreciate why you felt you could not vote for Donald Trump or why you couldn't now. So I appreciate that. So all clear. Thank you for weighing in. Let's go to Atlanta. Emmanuel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, I listen to your show all the time and follow you on Twitter. I don't do a lot of retweeting. I voted for Donald Trump and I would do it again. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro-American, and I believe that, you know, we have to quit looking for perfect people. I would ask you the question, would you vote for King David? Probably not, but you vote for, so we can't expect for people to be perfect, and we have to pray for them. I could definitely not vote for Hillary Clinton with the abortion and the agenda that they've been pushing. Now, here's the thing, a lot of people ask, well, I don't like the way Donald handles himself, but we look at Daniel in the Bible, the lion went to sleep. You look at Samson. Eyeballs was flying, you know. So I would vote for Donald Trump again. I think that we should pray for him. And, you know, the Constitution was based on the Bible. That's what we have to understand. And so we had the Bible says faith without works is dead. And for too long, the Bible, the church has, and I believe in prayer, has just said, well, we're going to stay in the church and we're just going to pray. And that's all we're going to do. We need to do both of them. And both of them are equally as important. Look at Dr. Martin Luther King, and I'm African-American, by the way, but I'm human first. But if he hadn't gotten involved with us being able to register on both, so I think that we need both. We need to stop being so critical. All this stuff on the fake news that goes on is just terrible, the persecution of Christians in this nation. So it was one of those things where we had to. And the shedding of innocent blood has always been my deal-breaker. I don't care what other views they have, but he has a heart for the unborn, and we must stand with our president. And let's think about it. The other alternative to being pro-American is you got socialists, anti-God, and communists. We have to look at what's spiritual, and when we truly look through spiritual eyes, there's no way in the world you could be a socialist or a communist or support such a wicked woman as Hillary Clinton. That was a no-brainer. She doesn't. Let's look at what was going on with what he did with religious freedom. And so my thing is this. We have to quit being so – the Bible said pray for those that are in authority and quit being so critical. The Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren daily. And so us as Christians, I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. The Bible said all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. And so we have to stop being so critical.
I just got to jump. I'm sorry, Emmanuel. You're on a roll there. And what you're saying about abortion and some of the agenda that others have, those are deal breakers to me as well, sir. So for the same reason, I voted for President Trump. The concern that many have, and I've got a break, that's why I jumped in, because you're on a roll, and I love what you were saying. The concern is that Christians for years have said integrity is important, character is important. Now people are saying, have you just thrown that out? You say, no, but this was the best choice, and the situation is urgent. So we haven't thrown out the importance of character. We just had to make a pragmatic choice here. All right, we'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's say you are a doctor in a hospital, and you have 100 patients who are very sick, and you and your team are stretched very, very thin. However, you know that there is an antidote for what some of the people are suffering from. And if you can get it to them, some at least will recover. Maybe more, maybe most, maybe everyone. But right now, take it one at a time. You can do that. That's what we need to do right now as followers of Jesus here in America. Take things one at a time. We're a nation of, what, 330 million people. We're the most influential nation on the planet. Perhaps we have the most controversial leader at our helm, for better or worse, and one of the most controversial in our history, again, for better or for worse. And I truly believe that God is shaking our nation, and that we can see a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. I truly believe that. That's why I'm on the radio. That's why God laid this on my heart years ago, this theme of gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. That's why I write what I write and speak what I speak, because the Lord laid it on my heart. Not just try this, give it a shot, maybe it'll work, but no, I believe God spoke to me that if we humble ourselves and turn to Him, that we will truly see a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution that will be as real and definable as, say, a civil rights movement that we had in America, or a counterculture revolution that we had in America, that this will be just as visible and just as clear over a period of time. No, we're not talking about taking over the nation and forcing everyone to be Christian, and we hit you over the head with the Bible if you don't listen to. No, that would destroy the nation. I'd want out if that was the case, all right? As a follower of Jesus, I wouldn't want to live in an environment like that. But I know, number one, the change begins with you and me. So 330 million people, man, that's massive debt. It's like trillions of dollars. 55 million babies we've aborted, and on and on and on it goes, and it is overwhelming. Okay, pull back from that. Starts with you. Starts with me. What about my life? What about simply spending more quality time with God every day in the Word and prayer and crying out, God, start a fresh fire in me? Why can't we do that? That's number one. Number two, we recognize that even though America has many fine Christian roots, America is still of the world. And therefore, I don't confuse patriotism with the kingdom of God. I am a loyal citizen to our nation, doing what is best for our nation as a follower of Jesus. But there's a difference between praying, God bless America, in other words, make us bigger and better and stronger, and Lord, your kingdom come to America. That's my greater prayer. Lord, your kingdom come to America. And that means bringing about radical change, and that change starts with you and it starts with me. And therefore, as much as I pray for the president and I know the power he has for good or for bad in our nation, I am not looking to the president to bring about change. My hope is not in the president of the United States to bring about moral and cultural change. My hope is in God, the gospel, and God's people. Therefore, the best thing we can do after seeking God for repentance and change in our own lives and doing what our hands find to do is then to give ourselves to prayer for the nation and give ourselves to evangelism. You say evangelism? Yeah, just looking to share the gospel in a life-changing way with a friend, with a neighbor, with a coworker. Every day, whether you're homeschooling six kids at home, whether you're working two shifts on a job and can barely get enough hours to sleep, every day, say, God, use me to bring about positive change. He will do it, whether it's you pouring into your kids, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's talking to a coworker, whether it's a random encounter with someone that God has set up. Every day, God, use me to bring about change. You'd be amazed what would happen. This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire. Change the world.
Fire we please. Stand in the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, we've got an important announcement. To everyone listening on our great stations at Blanket DFW, normally you hear me going on at 2:30 in the afternoon. Then we've got a few minutes, then we take that break, then we go for a while, then a break, then we go for a while. So 2:30 Central Time, 3:30 everyone else listening in Eastern Standard, and then you figure out your time zone wherever you are. Come January 1st, we have an exciting change in the clock. The first 3 minutes will be the local stations. So instead of hearing my voice at 2:30 your time, you'll hear my voice at 2:33. But then we've got a long session, short break, and a long session. So in other words, we are going to have more airtime and we're going to have less breaks in that time for you. So if you turn on your radio at 2:30, January 1st, you won't hear my voice. You have to wait 3 minutes. Then I'll be there. And then we've got longer segments, shorter breaks. All right. We've changed our clock starting January 1st. Facebook now allows you to do polls. They're very simple. You can only give two choices at a time. Twitter, at least, you can give up to four. But I knew what the answer to this would be. I just wanted to illustrate it for others. When it comes to our articles and videos and radio broadcasts, is it important to you that we continue to address moral and cultural issues on a regular basis? Or would you rather we just talked about theology and the Bible? 13% said no, just talk theology. 87% said yes, culture too. So almost 9-1, which is fully what I expect. It is our calling. It is why so many of you listen to the show, watch the show, read our articles. Now, some very interesting polling I did on Twitter and then on Facebook as well. I asked the question, I've been taking calls about this, if you voted for Donald Trump in 2016, would you vote for him again today? If you did not vote for him in 2016, would you vote for him today? All right? That's the question I've been asking, if he was up against a similar candidate. So check out these results. They are really, really interesting. And I found something similar on my personal Facebook page. Are you ready? So 68% who responded voted for Trump in 2016. Of those, so out of the 68%, 3% said no, they wouldn't vote for him now. 65% said they would. So almost 22-1 said we voted for him then, we would vote for him again now. All right, the other 32% of those responding, so roughly one out of every three responding said we did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016. 11% said they wouldn't vote for him again. 21% said, 11% said they would vote now. 21% said they wouldn't. So 2-1 said they wouldn't vote for him. Now notice this. It was 22-1 of those who voted for him who said, if the elections were today, I'd vote for him again. It was 2-1 saying if the elections were held today, I didn't vote for them, I wouldn't vote for them now. What does it mean? It means that on my poll, representing people who voted for Donald Trump and those who didn't, that he has gained more votes than he lost. So as much as you hear that his approval rates are in the tanks, and you know his latest tweet attacking a congresswoman, I wish he wouldn't do that, and the way he did it, what he implied, it's just ugly, it's beneath him as the president. So, you know, the one day you're applauding for him for what he's done for Jerusalem and saying, okay, fake news is getting exposed. And then the next day does something like this, you shake your head. But overall, based on people I'm asking, and the same thing on my personal Facebook page, he has gained more voters than he has lost. So I asked on Facebook, my personal page, so I just had a few hundred people respond there. And let me just scroll down and find that here. Okay, here we go. So 144 people, it's a tiny sampling. It's just my personal Facebook page. 144 people responded who did vote for him, 130 who didn't. So it's almost 50-50. Of those who did vote for him, 87% said, yes, I'd vote for him again. And 13% said, no, I wouldn't. Of those who did not vote for him, okay, 70% said they would now, and 30% said they would. So based on my polling, he has picked up more voters than he's lost. Isn't that wild? If you just believe the reports of secular media, you'd think he doesn't have anybody standing with him at all, except for just the, you know, this radical, fanatical few. And you say, yeah, but those are people that follow you, Dr. Brown. Those are people that are conservative. Those are people that share your Christian values. For the most part, yes. But many of them, in this case, on my personal Facebook page, almost half did not vote for Donald Trump then in 2016. And yet 70% of those said they would now. Isn't that fascinating? 866-34-TRUTH. In any case, my hope is not in the White House. The key to national transformation is found in the prayer room far more than it is found in the White House. Yes, we pray for the president, but moral and cultural change comes from God through his people, through the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones in Austin, Texas. Nicole, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello? Are you there?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Earlier you mentioned, you know, you started talking about advancing the gospel, and you mentioned you were Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're teaching about Jesus, do you teach the oneness or the Jesus-only belief that Pentecostals
have? Oh, no. That's a total, that's a schism group, a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of Pentecostals and Charismatics. No, of course not.
No. Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
There's the tiniest minority of Pentecostals, Charismatics worldwide who hold to that. So, yeah, your assumption, if you meet someone that says that they believe the gifts of the Spirit are for today or healing and miracles are for today, and they're a born-again believer, you assume they hold to the same fundamental gospel that, say, a non-charismatic, a Baptist or a Presbyterian would. Yeah, it's only a tiny group that holds to what's called oneness or Jesus-only doctrine. Yep.
Okay. Well, and I just was going to say, too, I also would vote for Trump again.
Got it. Okay, so you voted in 2016, and you would vote for him again.
I would. And do you think everything that's coming to light is because Trump is there? I mean, the fake news, more people standing up. Do you think it's him or just that it's a coincidence?
No, I think it's part of something God is doing, and he's part of the equation. I wrote an article about that, about the divine shaking and all of the allegations of sexual misconduct. And I said, to me, it's a principle. My friend Lance Wallnau wrote a book called God's Chaos Candidate about Donald Trump during the elections. Mm-hmm. And I differed with Lance back then initially because I didn't want to see Donald Trump in office. I really opposed him as a candidate. And when he became the Republican nominee, I said, okay, now we step back and ask the questions again. But I think Lance was really onto something when he called Trump God's chaos candidate and referred to him as a divine wrecking ball of sorts. And so I see him here. Look at it like this. There are people with a certain personality, and you put them in a room, and suddenly everybody's yelling. Everybody, it just brings everything up to the surface. So, you know, you sit down over holidays, over Thanksgiving, a lot of families said, we're not going to talk politics because it's so divisive. And the moment you mention the name Donald Trump, you've got people jumping up to support him, jumping up to slam him. There's very little neutrality. But I believe it's part of a divine shaking as well. He gets shaken in this process, too. So it's brought a lot up to the surface. It's brought up the degree of racial division we have in our country. I believe a lot of it was fed into by the identity politics of the last president, President Obama, and then President Trump with his style has exacerbated certain things, but it's brought those to the surface. It's brought the depth of our differences over key issues, be it abortion or homosexuality, to the surface. It's brought the political establishment up to the surface. It's brought media bias up to the surface. And I also believe in some odd way that with all of his misdeeds in the past, I mean, we knew his Playboy past and all of this, and, you know, he's a womanizer, how could you elect him, etc. It's brought a lot of stuff up to the surface, and now it's even gone from that to people speaking more openly about being sexually abused. So I see it as part of a larger complex of divine shaking, and I expect that shaking to continue in the church. It's always unpleasant when it happens because it brings stuff to the surface. That's why I constantly say, rather than pointing fingers and gloating, let's see, is my house in order? Is your house in order? As shaking comes to us, are our foundations strong? Will they stand? That's the big question. All right, I want to give you a few more keys to gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. We come back as well as take your call. Stay right here, 866-34-TRUTH.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the broadcast, 866-348-7884. Listen, friends, if we're going to see change come to America, it starts with you and me. It starts also with our recognizing that it's not from the White House or Congress or Supreme Court down, but from God to his people out. That's how things have to come. There's nothing more important we could do than give ourselves to prayer, seeking God earnestly, repentance in our own life, praying for revival, praying for awakening, praying for the lost, and then praying for a fresh wave of evangelism in the church, that God would awaken our hearts with urgency, awaken our hearts with burden, that we recognize that people are truly lost without Jesus and that we give ourselves again to winning the lost. Along with that, we need to determine to always be salt and light. And little by little, we bring about change, and then an explosion comes. It's just like a volcano, something's going on under the surface, or an earthquake, something's going on under the surface. And if we had perfect vision from the inside, we'd be able to see little. Or here it's going to happen. Here's exactly where it's going to happen. It may seem sudden. Suddenly there's an earthquake somewhere. You didn't see it coming. Well, if we could see from the inside perfectly, we'd know exactly when it was coming. The same way, little by little, we stand for what's right. Little by little, and I don't mean that we do it in a compromised way, but I mean whenever we have the opportunity, we stand for what's right. Something happens in the workplace and you have to compromise your convictions. You lovingly speak up. Something's going on in your school. You lovingly take a stand. Yeah, I want to see everything happen all around the country at once. You know, I'd like to write one book and it sparks a massive revolution and next month America looks different. You know, or God pours out a spirit today and tomorrow the nation looks different. Yeah, that'd be wonderful if that happened. But more likely, what we're going to see is little by little by little. Something's wrong in your school system, take a stand. Something's burdening you, go to God about it. Everybody be responsible for their field. Everybody be responsible for their area. Everybody stand where you can stand, okay? Make a difference where you can make a difference. Here in Charlotte, North Carolina area, we just had a big rally. Thousands of people came together for a prayer walk in front of the largest abortion clinic in the southeastern United States and the number one cause of death in the city of Charlotte. Yes, more than heart disease, more than cancer and accidents and other things like that. Exactly. Shockingly so. And in the last 2 years, 800 babies have been saved. What do I mean saved? I mean that the mother decided not to have the abortion, the father decided not to have the abortion, and either these kids now are in homes with loving moms and dads that said, we're going to keep our child, or they've been adopted by others who said, we'll take your child and care for your child. Some of the people involved are now following Jesus. There were workers from the abortion clinics that have now left and are following Jesus. Well, what happened is for years and years and years, there have been faithful workers, faithful, godly servants, and they've been out. They've been out sacrificially. They've been out week in, week out, when many of us are sleeping and resting on a Saturday. They're up early in the morning in front of abortion clinics. They're sharing the gospel there daily. They're making an effort. They're doing things that are really sacrificial. They've been doing this for years. Many of our students and fellow workers involved with these things. Some of my friends and colleagues involved with these for years. And then others catch a vision. and others, some of my friends birthed Cities for Life, and they're making great progress. And then a businessman a few years ago catches a vision, starts with this Love Life Charlotte vision. Next thing, the things have just jumped. There's been great, great increase in change. So this is what happens on an individual basis. People say, I'm burdened. So here in Charlotte, there have been business people who've gotten burdened and said, we need to bring about change. And then working together with those on the front lines of the pro-life movement, they've seen real change come. You don't know, but your case, your situation, where you just don't like something happening in your first grade class with your son or your daughter, and you talk to the administration, and they push you away, and next thing, this gets national news. This could now be watched by a million people tomorrow on YouTube. Or it could end up being a legal case that goes to the Supreme Court. You don't know. I have I'll give you a personal story. There was a student of ours on Long Island when I was teaching at Christ for the Nations from 1983 to 1987. He pastored a small church. He had taken it over. The church was having lots of issues and problems. And I don't know, they had maybe 30, 50 people. I mean, whatever. It was a small congregation. Took that over, was pouring into it. Congregation seeing some growth and forward progress. And then what happens is they want to use, I think, a local library to show these James Dobson family films and family videos. No, can't use it. That's religious. Well, hang on. Didn't you have some, was it Transcendental Meditation or Buddhist, whatever it was, something else in here? And no, you can't use it. So they felt it was wrong. Talked to some local friends who were Christian attorneys. Those attorneys said, no, this is discrimination. This building has to be open. If it's open to one, it's open to all. If it's a public facility. Well, what happened was this ended up being taken up by ACLJ, Jay Sekulow. It ended up going to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled in favor of this little church that was called Lamb's Chapel that was pastored then by a colleague of mine, John Stargerwald, all right, who's since then done great work with Teen Challenge and other ministries like that. This went to the Supreme Court, and it became a national precedent for buildings that are being used. So like a school, if you're going to use this, the school's going to open its facilities, anyone can rent space in it. So you want to have, you know, a history month or something like that, and you want to rent the building on weekends to do it, or you have an arts exhibit, or local Muslims want to use it, or church, if it's open and it's a public facility, then you can't say that a church, religious group can't use it. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Lamb's Chapel 9-0. 9-0. And it became a national precedent. If I had some prophetic word when it was happening, John, the Lord showed me that you're going to pastor this church and there's going to be a legal conflict you're involved with and it's going to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's going to rule 9-0 in your favor. You'd laugh me out of town, but it happened. So everybody stand where you can stand. Do the little that you can do. Always determine wherever you find yourself to be salt and to be light. Friends, that's how change will come. That's how change must come. You and me, we humble ourselves before God. Light a fresh fire in me. We recognize America is of the world, and America needs the invasion of the kingdom of God. We give ourselves to prayer. We give ourselves to winning the lost. And then where reformation must come in our own lives, we give ourselves to that. Friends, if you don't have my book, Saving a Sick America, it is a prescription for moral and cultural transformation. Get hold of the book. Every chapter will give you practical steps. Once we get into diagnosing the problems, we give you practical steps to take. And if you realize, hey, change begins with me, change happens in my own life, not only will your own life be overflowing with blessing and the presence and life and joy of God, but you will be making a difference. And 100 miles away, someone else is making a difference. And around the block, someone else is making a difference. And somewhere else, a difference is being made. Suddenly, critical mass is reached. No one even knows it's coming. And there's a national holy explosion. Let it be. I'm here for the long haul, but I'm here for the long haul today. We can see a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Together, we're making a difference.